Can you turn to the Gospel of Luke? So it's the third Gospel as you go into the New Testament. And we're going to be in chapter 10 this morning. So if you can turn to that. If we could put the PowerPoint up, Tim, that'd be great as well. So this morning we are going to explore, this morning and next Sunday morning as well, we're going to explore this concept of people of peace. And this morning particularly we're going to look at the passage in Luke 10 in quite a bit of depth and to look at some of the things that come out of this passage that I think help us in understanding people of peace, which also then in the context of us being fruitful at the edge, being fruitful in our lives, will, I think, give us a strategy to enable us to become more fruitful. That's my hope as we explore this. You remember last time, this is a couple of weeks ago now, when we were in this series that we're on, we had a look at this, I don't know what to call it really, but it was, again, just a little process, let's say, of understanding as we go from where we are to people who are involved in our lives. This is something that helps us, I think, in terms of understanding how God sees us and sees the world. And if you remember, we talked about the fact that God is for us. So as we go to people, as we seek to engage with our communities and with our friends, with our colleagues at work, at school gates, wherever it might be, our overarching sense is that God is for people, that he wants to bless people. And then in terms of that, God, in his story with humanity, is that God came alongside people. He became with people. So he sent people to be with people. And in the Old Testament particularly, we see the story of how God appoints individuals to come alongside humanity, particularly Israel. And so he's with people. It's never enough to just be with people. We have to become one of people. And that's what God did. And so God became one of us. And when we looked at John 1 verse 14, which talks about the Word being with God, the Word was Jesus, is Jesus, and Jesus becomes a man. And he to quote the message, he moved into our neighborhood, became one of us. And then when you receive that message, when you accept that message, then actually not only is Jesus with us and one of us, but actually he's in us. And so that was just a little bit of thinking to this whole process then of how we begin to move in our lives on this journey of being more missional, thinking about how we live our lives with this understanding that God is for us, he's with us, he's one of us, and he's actually in us. And so we ended this talk a couple of weeks ago with this question. Who are you called to love intentionally? Who are you called to love intentionally? Who are the people in your life? And what I want to do this week and next week is to give you some pointers to help you find out who these people are. And again, if you've been around HBC for a while, you know that this is not a new concept. But I think it's such an important concept that it's worth digging into it a little bit more today in terms of helping us become fruitful. This is the aim of what we're talking about, is that we want you to be fruitful on your front line. We want you to be fruitful as you live at your edge. So we're going to look at this phrase, a person of peace. And we're going to read the passage from Luke 10. So let's read this together. So after this, the Lord appointed the 72 and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way, and behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. So, I think this is a really important little passage in terms of how Jesus is beginning to equip and enable his disciples to be disciples, to be people who are like him and do the things that he did. And so the first four verses give us a little bit of an understanding in terms of how Jesus sees this working out in practice. And I think the reason why Jesus gives us this detailed strategy is that he wants us to understand that we're all going to struggle with this concept of taking the message to those who are outside of the church. He knows it's not easy. In fact, he describes it a bit like we're going to be lambs going into the context of wolves. It's not an easy thing. He recognizes that. So he wants to give us a strategy. He wants to give us a process of how we do this. And in those first four verses, there's a couple of things that I think are really important to pick up, which we could easily just overlook. The first thing is that he always tells the disciples to go in twos. So he never says to them, go on your own. He says, do it in a context of team. Do it in the context of community, of people around you who will get what you're trying to do, who will support you, who will work with you in that context of going in teams. Secondly, notice that Jesus says, well, as you go to these towns and cities, it's because he is about to go to those towns and cities as well. So actually, as you go to people, Jesus is going with you. You're preparing people for that encounter with Jesus. That actually he is with us. He's for us in that sense of what we've just been talking about. Now, a little bit later, we'll just look a little bit at the issue of rejection, which I think is really important to nail when we're talking about this sort of thing. But what we have to remember is that we have to, first of all, be connected to Jesus before we can be rejected, because we know Jesus. And what this is what this passage is saying at the beginning of these verses. It says we need to be in team, we need to remember that Jesus is with us, and we need to remember that there is an expectation of harvest. So there's an expectation of harvest. So Jesus says to them, the harvest is plentiful. I think sometimes our experience is that the harvest isn't plentiful. And I want you to have a think about this phrase that I've been thinking about is, if you look at your life, if you look at your network of relationships, where is the low-hanging fruit? Where is the fruit that actually is quite easy to get a hold of? Because actually the truth is that the harvest is plentiful. And what this strategy of the people of peace is about is actually helping us understand that within the context of the harvest, there is low-hanging fruit. There are people in your network of friends, your network of relationships, who are being prepared by God for you to go into that context. That's what we're going to look at in a few moments. And then the final thing that Jesus says is to pray. And again, we mustn't overlook that in this preparation as we talk about recognizing people of peace. That we have to make sure that we are praying on a regular basis. Praying for God to reveal the person of peace. Praying blessings. You know, we talked about this before. If God is for people, then we of all people should be the people who carry the blessing of God into whatever arena we go into our schools, into our workplaces, into our leisure places, for our neighborhoods. We need to be people who are praying the blessing of God. And then just a final thing to say in this is that we have to own the fact that we will be afraid. We have to own the fact that we will feel at times scared and intimidated. And I think we just have to accept that and get over it. We mustn't allow, you know, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is recognizing the fear and then saying, I'm still going to do it. And that's why, again, we need to be in team. That's why we need to be together, because we have to put courage into one another. So, as you go through the passage then, what you begin to recognize is that a person of peace is somebody who will begin to welcome you into your home. So the disciples in this context are told, aren't they, that they're to go to this place and they're to go to a house and they're to say to the house, peace be on this house, and if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will remain upon you. I think this is really important to understand the concept of what Jesus is talking about here. When this is all about recognizing the person of peace. The greeting in Jesus' day was shalom. So they would, you know, like we go about and say to one another, how are you? You know, and their day and age, they would say, shalom, peace be with you. Would be their greeting in the same way that our greeting is, how are you? And Jesus takes an everyday greeting that every Jew would use, peace be with you, and he takes hold of it and he says, this is the way to begin to discern whether people that you're talking to are ready to receive you in the way that they respond to your greeting. And so for you and I, when we go about our lives in a very practical way, what we're looking for is people that we begin to engage with. We're looking for people who welcome us, who respond to our greeting. I was reading about a friend in another church where they're teaching this, and the way that they do it, and this is not for everybody, but the way that they respond, if somebody says to them, how are you? Their response is always to reply saying, I am blessed. How are you? And by just using that little phrase, they get a response to see whether people are willing to take the conversation a little bit further. And so they use that little phrase, yeah, how are you? I'm feeling really blessed, actually. How are you? And they use that phrase as a way of opening up the conversation. And if the conversation doesn't go anywhere, then they don't worry about it. They just carry on chatting. But they don't take the conversation any deeper in terms of whether they're recognizing a people of peace. I think what's really important for you and I in this context is to remember that God is with us and for us in that moment. One of the reasons why as a church we teach and we talk about listening to God so much is that we need to be really comfortable as Christians in hearing God's voice. Because actually in these moments when we're out in the world, when we're talking to our friends or our neighbors, our work colleagues, what we need to be doing is listening to God in that moment and beginning to sense what he's saying to us about that person. Recognizing how they are responding to us, what they're saying to us, whether they're welcoming us. Just begin to discern, well, is this a person of peace? Is this somebody that actually God is preparing for me to take this conversation further, to take my relationship with them further, to begin to share deeper about who God is. So, in verse 6, it says, if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Obviously, this is a really relational thing, isn't it? It's highly relational. And we need to be ready in those moments to be listening to what the person is saying to us, but also listening to what God is saying to us. Just getting that sense, is there something being returned to me here? Is there something that I'm recognizing, that they are recognizing who the Jesus in me? And Jesus goes on to say, there's a few things that you can notice and you can find out about this. But what we need to be understanding is that God is already at work in these situations. Sometimes we compartmentalize where God is at work, and we think God can only be at work in this particular arena. But actually what we want to understand is that God is at work in all arenas. There's no area of life, there's no context of the world where God cannot be at work. It's interesting, in Psalm 25 it says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his way." So I want to encourage you not to be surprised that the Holy Spirit's gone before you, that is at work ahead of you in some of the contacts, some of the relationships, particularly if you're praying before you go, particularly if you're aware of what God is saying to you and you come into a context, you begin to recognize the people of peace. And some of that is internal, but some of it's external, some of the things that people do. And one of the things that people will do is that they'll begin to serve you. They'll begin to get who you are. They'll begin to recognize what you're about. And I was going to ask Ed at this point to come up, because Ed, as you know, has done some teaching on this over the last year. Shut that mic. And we've been looking at this, and he's been trying to put some of it into practice. And we were chatting this week, and he had a couple of really interesting stories just how he's been applying this thought of people of peace.
Good morning. Yeah, so over Easter, we bought a house kind of just before Easter. And we've not moved in. We needed some decorating doing. And this kind of stuff, the people of peace stuff, kind of really came alive for me in a different way, I guess, over Easter, or kind of re-emphasized it. And I'll just tell you a couple of stories about some people. One of them, a younger couple, just a little bit younger than Lindsay and I, who've got two children. And we've kind of been connected to the guy for many years, but kind of lost touch. Anyway, a friend of ours put something on Facebook, anyone can help us, kind of come along and help. Anyway, so they turned up on one day. Neither of them are Christians, but it's safe to say they are open to Christianity. The mum particularly has been really interested in speaking with another friend about Jesus and faith and Christianity and everything. Anyway, they turned up, and the guy helped me decorate for like the whole day. And his partner, she took our kids down to the park for like an hour or a couple of hours, and then came back, and then Lindsay was going off with the kids somewhere else. But the dad stayed and helped me decorate. And then not only that, later on that evening, they brought us dinner as well. They brought us like a massive amount of sausages and mash and everything. It was amazing. But the point is, it's people that they receive. I'm looking up there. That's amazing. They receive you and they serve you and they welcome you. And that was really what these guys did. They're not Christians, but they're kind of open to us. And then whilst decorating, me and the dad were able to have a conversation and talk about stuff to do with church and Jesus. And it was just a really great moment. But I would say that to us, in that moment, they really became people of peace, people who really wanted to help us and to serve us. And then we've had others as well that have been really people of peace to us throughout many years as well, who've kind of been involved with faith and drifted away, but still connected to us. And so we're kind of praying for them, and they've been really serving us as well over the last kind of few weeks. And it's really encouraging. This stuff, it really helps you to kind of go, actually, they're people I want to stay with and I want to invest in them. Those relationships are the ones that there's something about that. Rather than just trying to blanket evangelize everybody, actually, those are the people where maybe I should just try and make an opportunity to spend a little bit more time, invite them around, spend time in doing all the kind of day-to-day life stuff that we do, but intentionally use those opportunities to share Jesus with them, because we love them and we love Jesus and want them to know Jesus too. So that's kind of really what it looks like for me.
Great. So just to interrupt the flow, but you know we share a car park just up there. Somebody else, we share with people who live there. So somebody's blocked somebody in who lives there, who's got a Mazda 3, ends in V-E-M. And if you could just nip out and move it so they can get out, that'd be really helpful. Thank you. So what we're trying to do is the end goal is to help you be more fruitful. So what we're trying to teach you and encourage you is to think differently about the context that you find yourself in. And not just think about people. One of the ways to begin to engage with people of peace is also to think about whether you've got places of peace. Where are places in your life that actually people welcome you, they're friendly to you, they open the door to you in that sense of just in that place of peace, I think you'll begin to identify people of peace. And this is one of the reasons why Sue and I have been encouraging Chris and Julie Demetrio to do something at Starbucks on the Cheshire Oaks. Because they were going to Cheshire Oaks, to the Starbucks, for a number of years, just because Chris was working there. But actually, in that place, they began to build some friendships and some relationships. And that, I think for them, that was a place of peace. And in that context, they began to meet people who were people of peace. And Sue and I think Sue mentioned this, we went up there to have a coffee with Chris and Julie a couple of weeks ago, and we met one of their people of peace. And within half an hour, this person of peace had given us tickets to go and see something, because he was really involved in the basketball here in Chester. And so that was a place. So we need just be thinking and praying, where in your life are places where you feel welcome, where you feel received? And I think schools can be a key place for this. Leisure, gym, a coffee shop, a pub. Different places where you meet people, where actually it's a space that's neutral, but you're finding people of peace. People who welcome you, people who receive you, people who begin to serve you. And it's interesting because in Luke 10, going back to the passage, it says, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you. That's the concept, is that actually, in terms of the strategy that Jesus is saying they should follow, is that they go to a house, they feel welcomed, and then the people in the house feed them. Now, obviously, that tied into the hospitality of the Middle East and of Israel at the time. But you just do that. You there's that place where they're receiving you, they're serving you. And then in verse 7, it says, as you stay there, do not move around from house to house. And it said, again, this is interesting in terms of the Greek language that's being used here. In the translation, is the Greek for the word house, don't go from house to house, is the word oikos. Now, the word oikos is translated household. But what it really means in this context is your network of relationships. And we've been sort of exploring a bit, we're trying to understand this word a bit in terms of oikos. What is it? What is your oikos? What is that? What are the network of relationships that you have? If you were to look at your life and look at different contexts where you find yourself, whether that's in the neighborhood you live in or the workplace or your leisure center that you go to, or the coffee shop where you hang out, or it could be anywhere and everywhere, you could have these network of relationships. That is your oikos. That is your household of people. And this is what Jesus is saying, I think, in terms of this passage. He's saying, when you meet people of peace, don't keep just flitting and bouncing around different relationships. And I think sometimes we can do that as Christians. We can keep flitting around our different networks of relationships. And my observation of people who are getting this is that they begin to intentionally focus on a few relationships. They either begin to say, well, actually, we'll focus in on our neighborhood because we really are meeting people in our neighborhood. We're getting to know people in our neighborhood. And in our neighborhood, particularly, that can connect to their local school. So in their local school, they begin to intentionally focus on relationships in their local school just to get to know people, to bless them, to pray for them. And out of those relationships, they begin to identify people of peace. Is that making sense? And I think what Jesus is saying here is that we need to take time. If we want to be fruitful on our front lines, we all have to take time to think intentionally and to pray into our networks of relationships. Not to go from house to house, but actually to stay in a network of relationships where the people of peace is resting, where we feel as though people are welcoming us, are receiving us. And so we one of the things that I would encourage you to do over the next few weeks is to ask these four questions with God. Who is your person of peace or your place of peace? Just ask that question of God. Think about it with him. Where is the clearest open doorway? Where is it really easy to go through a door and find people who get you and love, who like you in the networks of relationships that you have? And in that, who is God asking you to begin to love in an intentional way? Who can you begin to build friendships with? Who could you spend a bit of time with? That was the conversation that Ed and I was having in terms of his experience over the last few weeks. Well, out of these people who are coming to decorate with him, who should he begin to spend some time with? Who should they invest time with? Because that's what we do. At this point, we begin to intentionally invest time in them. So when, again, going back to verse 8, Jesus says, whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. I think that the primary strategy of Jesus in this context was eating and drinking. I was doing some study this week, thinking about this, and some of you will know that there are three occasions in the Gospels where you have the phrase, the Son of Man came. And there's three occasions where it says that. It says, the Son of Man came. The first time it says, the Son of Man came, this is in Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. Luke 19, verse 10, is the other time it says it. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And both of those verses talk about Jesus' purpose. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom, and Jesus came to seek and to save. The third time it says it is in Luke 7. It says the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And I think that was the means by which Jesus fulfilled his purpose. I am convinced the primary reason why Alpha works as a method is because it has food at the beginning. I've been involved in Alpha courses where I've been with people over 7, 8, 9 weeks, and you can see how people relax in that process of being on the Alpha course just because we're eating and drinking at the start of it. And one of the reasons why people find it difficult to transition out of being on an Alpha course into a follow-up discipleship course is that 9 times out of 10, they stop the eating and drinking. They just go into a sort of proper Bible study thing. And I really want to encourage us, and again, you'll know this in terms of what we're seeking to do, in terms of developing missional communities. One of the ingredients of a missional community is that you eat and drink together. Because eating and drinking is witnessing. Eating and drinking is witnessing. When you invite people into your life, when you spend time with people eating and drinking, then I think you begin to intentionally invest in them. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came eating and drinking. If you do a study, and I had a very brief study over when I was preparing for this and looking at some of the Gospels, it's amazing how many times you read about Jesus being in a context where he was eating and drinking. So much so he was eating and drinking that the Pharisees thought he was a bit of a drunk and a glutton. So we need to think about that. We need to think about how we structure our lives, how we structure our gatherings, and work out how important it is that we eat and drink, particularly if we want to invite people in to our lives and use the process of eating and drinking, because that was how Jesus did it. And it's interesting that sometimes we have to go to where people put us in terms of cross-culture. We have to eat what's put in front of us. It's not just about we inviting people to eat with us. Also, sometimes they will invite us to go and eat with them. So just have a think about that in the way that Jesus here is at work. And then just the final thing to say, because time has gone, and we'll pick this up a little bit later next week, is when you meet these people, I think what you'll find is that they operate as a gatekeeper to their network of friendships. So what we begin to find is that if we take hold of that word household, take hold of that word oikos, in terms of not going from house to house, but investing in a household, what we find is in that context is and you, we'll look at this in terms of how the church grew in Acts, is that a household, and Acts 16 is a great example, when the jailer in Philippi becomes a Christian, it talks about his household. And that's his network of relationships. And so if we meet somebody and they begin to be open to what's going on, then that opens up a whole host of other friends to us, and a whole host of other network to us, who then we can recognize who people of peace are in that context. So I think in this passage in Luke 10, we see a very clear strategy that Jesus outlines in terms of how the kingdom of God. And we'll look next week that once you've done that, once you've begun to understand all this, then what is it you do that draws your people of peace in? Because actually that's the next step. And we'll look at that next week in terms of recognizing what Jesus said in terms of the message. But one final thing to say, and I think Jesus picks it up in here as well, is that we mustn't fret about the rejection that we might encounter in this process. Because Jesus says that actually as you go around looking for people with your peace, there'll be some towns that will just not receive it. He says it in verse 10. If you enter a town and you're not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. So that even for these disciples, in terms of what they were doing in going into places to prepare for when Jesus came, there would be towns that would not receive it. They would not recognize that the kingdom of God was near. And that will happen to us. That will happen to us as we begin to think and pray intentionally in this way and start to work out how we take this sense of God's for people. He's with us. He's in us. And we begin to connect. There'll be some people who just won't get it. And we shouldn't get too fretful about that. We could commit them to God, pray for them, keep being good to them, bless them. But actually, they may not be your people of peace, and that's okay. It may be not the right time for them. We've just got to trust God's sovereignty over this. But there will be some people in your life. I'm convinced that as I think about this, there are people in our lives who are low-hanging fruit. Part of this harvest that is plentiful. That as we begin to think about this as a church and become more fruitful on our front lines, we'll begin to see the kingdom of God come. Let's all stand together. And the worship team guys come back up. We're just going to take a little bit of time to respond to what I've been saying. And we'll worship God a bit. And then we'll begin to see and listen and hear what God has to say. If he wants to speak into the situation a bit more, pray for people, we can do that as well. So let's all stand, shall we?
To live a life of love that pleases. Lord, will you be my guide, be my home?